Well, the weekend it is. Welcome aboard. You're at home with Gary Sullivan. This hour is brought to you by Easy Breathe. You know, June is National Safety Month, and to make your home safer, reduce airborne particles by 85% with an Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can visit breathe.com. All right, let's get some work done around home. What do you say? Grab a line. It's 800-823-8255. Again, 800-823-8255. Well, one of the things seeing a lot of, especially this time of year, is sidewalks and driveways that are like charcoal gray. And it's not the color of the concrete. It is a fungus. It's not just dirt. And if you get the pressure washer out, you'll clean it off. Probably not going to do any damage to the concrete. But that is not necessarily dirt. It's just a fungus and an algae. And again, that wet and forget spraying it on. Do it on a cloudy day. That's best. You won't get a lot of evaporation. You do it when that sidewalk is 95 degrees and the sun's beating down. You're probably going to have some evaporation. So a cloudy day, maybe do it at dusk. Get it on there, let it sit, and then let the sun do its thing the next morning. And then over a period of time, I was reading some comments about some of the wet and forget projects that people did, and it was amazing. I'm always saying 4 to 6 weeks, and again, it really depends on, you know, rainfall, sunshine, lack of evaporation that we just spoke of, you know, that the product sat on the problem area. But most of these folks that were commenting in this one Facebook posting, it was like within a week they were seeing a lightning, and in some cases within 2 weeks it was all clean. I found that a couple of times to be true, and a couple of times maybe it did take about 4 weeks. So, but it will be a total kill. It will get it clean, and it'll keep it clean for a season. So you kind of use that as a maintenance product, and I think you'll be pretty happy. All right, again, that number is 800-823-8255, and let's kick things off with David. David, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. My dad's porch was once poured years ago, and we redone it and poured over it, and there was a crack on the old porch concrete, and when we poured the new one, over years, it cracked in the same place on the new concrete,
right,
and it keeps peeling up. Is there anything that I could put in there to adhese that back, the concrete, that it won't keep, chipping out?
Yeah, well, I think what's going on is when you put the concrete over a crack, those cracks are never really finished expanding and contracting. In other words, they become like two pieces of concrete, so they expand and contract at different rates, and as it's moving underneath your concrete cap that you put on there, it just breaks that off. So, you know, one of the things that I would have recommended is that you put in a self-leveling urethane concrete crack filler. I know Quikrete has one. It's self-leveling, and it's a caulking cartridge. And you can fill that crack. Urethane has probably the highest adhesion, the greatest flexibility. And so it's still going to move. Don't get me wrong. It's still going to move. But, boy, when you start putting concrete, which isn't very flexible, over a crevice with two moving parts, it's going to break up. So, I mean, it's just going to break up. Nothing you're really going to do to keep that on. If you want to chip away some of that concrete, fill that crack with that urethane, and then apply a patch over it, I would recommend a product called Vinyl Concrete Patcher. It has an adhesive in it. It's a powder. It's mixed with water and can be applied up to a half inch thick.
Okay.
When you put that cap on there, did you put a concrete adhesive in there, David?
No. When we poured the cap over it, we put wire, you know, some wire over it to re-pour it. Mm-hmm. And to reinforce it, and it just cracks in the same place where the other crack was.
Yeah.
And it just keeps chipping up, and, you know, it turns into crumbles and
right.
and everything. So we're trying to think what we could do to seal that up to at least it won't pop up every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you got that slab, and it's since it's cracked, you do just have two different substrates moving. So I think it's going to be a constant problem. And one of the things, if you use like a sand mix as a cap on that concrete, concrete doesn't like to stick to concrete, and you have to use a concrete and plaster adhesive and mix it in with the sand mix to help generate some adhesion between the two concrete pieces, the new cap and the old concrete.
Okay.
All righty?
I'll try it. All
very
right.
Good.
Thank you.
You betcha. Take care. All right, it's 800-823-8255. Grab a line. Marge, welcome.
Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Yes, we just hit a walk-in shower put in, and, of course, we hit a lot of dust from drywall coming off. And I'd like to know the name of the company you recommend for cleaning ducts.
The one I recommend is called High Tech Duct Cleaning.
All right. And do you have a phone number for them, please?
I do not.
Okay.
Not off the top of my head, but it's High Tech Duct Cleaning.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Gary.
All right, Marge. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. And by the way, Marge is a local caller, and the High Tech Duct Cleaning is a company in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is where our flagship station is. High Tech Duct Cleaning is kind of a go-to source even nationally. There's been a couple national news stories that have been featured with duct cleaners in which High Tech Duct Cleaning was a part of. They were kind of the experts. And if you remember any of those stories or seen that, there was a little bit of, I don't know, not really illegal, but there was some people were feeling like they were getting taken in some cases. They would say, $99 duct cleaning. And then when they got there, oh, you want the return air done too. Oh, you want it sanitized. Oh, you want it. And High Tech Duct Cleaning was used as this is what should happen in a duct cleaning. The most duct cleaners should be able to give you a pretty good price over the phone. You tell them how many registers you have, how many cold air returns you have. They tell you what they're going to do, what's included in the price. And that price should be pretty firm unless you miscount. That game's not always played that way. So, that's why I recommend High Tech. They're pretty transparent in their pricing, and, you know exactly what you're going to pay, before they even get out there. Now let's just look at things realistically today, folks, too. Is somebody really going to drive to your house, spend 6 hours and clean the inside heating and cooling ductwork of your home for $99? Is that really going to happen? No. I mean, most duct cleaning, $400 or $500 maybe. Probably spend half to three quarters of a day. It depends how big your house is. I'm not going to clean that whole house ductwork for $99. All right, here's our phone number. It's 800-823-8255. Ron Wilson, he's up next, and then you're at home with Gary Sullivan.
If you don't have a list of things to do around the house, Gary will find something for you at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
All right, back at it we go, 20 minutes after the top of the hour, at home with Gary Sullivan. Time for Ron Wilson, our gardening guru. Mr. Wilson, how are you today?
I'm good. Was that lady on the commercial talking about you or me?
You.
Oh, okay.
Always. Always, always, always.
Totally
always.
Lied to.
Huh?
She said I've been totally lied to.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot.
That was the other host on different stations.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it wasn't Ron?
Wasn't me then.
It wasn't us.
I feel much better now.
There you go. Hey, how much should we water in the summertime if we're allowed?
If you're allowed?
The grass and the bushes and Can you kind of walk me through all that?
All right. Established. These are plants that have been there, including your turf, that are rooted in and established 3 to 5 years plus. Because, you know, it takes about 3 or 4 or 5 years for a lawn to actually become mature. But an established lawn, trees, and shrubs require about 1 inch of rainfall every 7 to 10 days. If you don't get that with Mother Nature, it's important to try to supplement as best you can. So you count on Mother Nature, and I think the other thing to remember is when you do have to supplement, you do need to water, is that you do it all at one time if possible. Now, Gary, if it has been dry and really hot, and it's time for you to water, and that soil is hot and dry and like rock hard,
right?
You don't want to just turn the sprinklers on and have at it. You want to turn the sprinklers on for probably 15 or 20 minutes and stop, get a little moisture in there like wetting a sponge.
Okay.
And then turn it back on. But, you know, when you do it all at one shot. If you don't, at least do half of it at one shot, 1/2 inch and 1/2 inch. But, you know, try to soak, dry. I mean, that's always been the big theory. But is 1 inch of rainfall every 7 to 10 days is what they would like under normal conditions.
I've noticed in the past that Mother Nature, you know, even if Mother Nature gives you 3/4 of an inch of rain.
Yep.
I don't know.
Pretty close to 1 inch.
Her water's better than the stuff that comes out of the sprinkling system.
Hey, no doubt about it.
Really?
No doubt about it.
What is it? Just the minerals in there? Or?
Well, you know, and you know what? When we talk about, you know, you have the water softeners and all.
Mm-hmm.
And if your water's running through a water softener, now obviously it's not salt, and that's always a misconception. You always straighten out everybody about the fact that if it's salt in your water, then something's wrong with your softener. But they can filter out a lot of the minerals and things that are in there.
Okay.
That makes your water hard.
Right.
That maybe your plants could actually use. So that's where the bypass valve really can come in handy to let those come on through and go to your plants. But, you know, it's Mother Nature, and it's all the nitrogen especially that's collected up there, obviously, in the atmosphere. Plus, if you get a little lightning in there to release that.
Right.
And add a little bit more. So it's just something about Mother Nature, and I compare the way she rains as to like a dram watering wand on the end of that thing. It's got 401 holes in there.
Mm-hmm.
It just penetrates much better than when we're trying to use sprinklers and things like that. So,
but still always a good idea to water. I mean, a lot of grass can kind of live for a while without water, right?
Yeah, well, here's the way I look at it. If you get into a drought situation and you have water restrictions at the same time or a budget and just does not allow you, I can't afford to do it.
Right.
Look at the things that you can't afford to lose, and that would be larger trees, larger evergreens, you know, that type of thing. Maybe protecting newly planted trees and shrubs, a new investment, trying to protect them as well. Those would be the most important. The last thing I'd look at would be container plants, annuals that you plant to let them dry up, and that's okay. And the turf actually falls kind of into that category as well, because we can always replace the turf somewhere down the road. But you're right, a lot of crowns, a lot of grasses can shut down, go dormant. As long as the crowns stay alive, and it only takes about 1/2 inch of rainfall every 2 or 3 weeks, if you can keep them alive, as soon as we get back into normal temperatures and rainfall, next thing you know, it's greening back up again. And you may have to do a little seeding here and there, but keeping the crowns alive is a lot easier to do than trying to keep that turf alive under extreme conditions.
Interesting, though. You mentioned something that a lot of people probably don't even think about watering, and that is mature trees and evergreens. We're always worried about the bushes and the grass and the impatience that we planted. But here you're saying the big trees you got to be thinking about.
Yeah, because we think, you know, they've got such a massive root system, they can take care of themselves. Well, they're just as subject to heat and drought as anything else that's out there, and you can't replace those. You know, you lose those, and you cannot replace them. It's impossible. Plus, you got the cost of taking them down and replacing them with a much smaller tree and then the time invested in it as well. Evergreens and larger trees, that's a priority on your list. And then work your way from there. And again, if you have newly planted trees and shrubs, I would try to protect the investment. And the rest of that stuff is way down the list, no doubt.
For new bushes that were maybe just planted a few months ago, how much water do they need? You're talking about like 1 inch a week.
Yeah, but don't count on the rainfall. You know, the way I look at it is you soak them really well and then back off and let them totally dry out. And watch them. If they start to wilt, you know you're at that point. But let them stay dry, you know, a little bit longer than you normally would. It may be a week or a week and a half. Then come back in and soak them really well again. But just soak the immediate rhubarb. That's all you're worried about.
When they start wilting and you give them water, will they bounce back like a houseplant does sometimes?
Nope. Sometimes it doesn't happen until late in the evening or first thing in the morning. You go out and you check and, oh, guess what? They're back up again. So you know you've got moisture back in the ground. So don't expect woody plants to respond. Now, perennials and annuals, obviously, they respond fairly quickly.
Right.
But woody plants may take you a little bit longer to see the moisture get make it back up in there. And, you know, that's one thing we go through, Gary, right now that's always going to be very confusing. Newly planted tree or shrub, we've only been in for a couple years, hydrangeas especially. You go out during the heat of the day, sunny, hot, 100 degrees, and the thing's wilted down. The new growth is all wilted. So you get the hose, you want to water. But come to find out, the moisture is there. But we water it anyway because it's wilted. But then if we went out and looked at it without water, we went out and looked at it late in the evening or first thing in the morning, it looks good. Mm-hmm. That means it's got plenty of moisture in the root ball. It just can't replace what's leaving out the top. So we wind up overwatering them and taking them out that way. So
that.
Again, soak it dry. Soak it dry. That's
interesting. Yeah. I mean, your landscaping and yards and trees, you're right. That's a big investment. And again, just like we always talk about around the house, maintenance is key. And I guess the same holds true with your landscaping.
Yes, indeed. Well spoken, my friend.
Very good. RonWilsonOnline.com. Lots of tips there. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And we'll continue with your calls. It's 800-823-8255 at home with Gary Sullivan.
Time to get your hands dirty with Gary Sullivan. Give him a call at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
All right, back at it we go. We are 33 minutes after the top of the hour, working our way through the weekend. Glad you could join me. And if you got a question regarding your home, dial us up. It's 800-823-8255. We'll give you the little pieces of information that maybe you're missing on your project. We don't make fun of anybody, but one of the things that is always a little bit saddens me is when somebody spends money and spends time fixing something, and part of that was that concrete slab, and I asked if you did an additive to that concrete to help with the bonding, and no, we put wire mesh. Well, that's fine. That holds the concrete together, but it really doesn't help bond it to its existing concrete slab. So we'll help you with that research if we can. And again, you can grab a line. Again, it's 800-823-8255. All right, back at the phones we go. We have Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you can give me advice on what's the best sealer to put on stamped concrete and what time of year is best time to do it.
Okay. So on stamped concrete, you don't use a sealer that would penetrate. You want to use a sealer that creates a little bit of a sheen. And if you're concerned about it being slippery, there's an additive to help correct that problem too. So one of the things you want to get something, it's a breathable gloss sealer. I can give you a brand name if you'd like. It's
sure, that would be great.
Okay, there's a website called Masonry Defender, and masonrydefender.com, they have probably, I'm going to guess, 10 or 12 different masonry sealers, and they have one there for stamped concrete, and what it is, it needs to be applied. You can't spray it. You need to apply it with a roller along those lines. You want it to lay on the surface. Usually when I'm talking about masonry sealers, I'm always talking about don't letting it lay on the surface. You want it to penetrate. On stamped concrete, you want it to lay on the surface. It's going to create a bit of sheen. It's going to revitalize the color. and it's going to last you, depending on how sunny of a location is, it could last 3 to 5 years. If you're concerned about it being slippery, a lot of times when we do the stamp concrete sealers, it's a little bit slick for about a year. There is you could do a silica sand. There's also one called a shark grip. It's a kind of very, very small plastic, really, little tiny balls. You can hardly see them, which will minimize the slipperiness of that also. But, yeah, just a regular stamped concrete sealer, gloss. Best time of the year. You don't want to do it when it's 90 degrees and real sunny. So, you know, if I was going to say a perfect day would be 80 degrees and cloudy.
Okay. Can you give me the name of that company one more time?
MasonryDefender.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. And I'm sure if you get to the big box store or the hardware store, they will have one that is a stamped concrete. I know there's a lot of different concrete patcher and sealer companies, like Janelle in my geography of the U.S., that would have a stamped concrete sealer also. Yeah, that's kind of what really makes it pop. There's some really expensive stuff out there, too, and one of these days we'll get somebody on to talk about that where it's almost a 20-year sealer. But it's also like $120 a gallon. And so, you know, you factor in your labor, you can decide which way you want to go, right? All right, Tom, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Gary, I have a question about my bathroom sink. It seems to be slowly draining, getting clogged up, and I suspect that it's because of hair getting down in there, but is there anything you would recommend to pour in there and get it cleaned out?
I'll tell you what I would use. Have you ever heard of what they call a Zip-It?
Zip-It, Z-I-P-I-T?
Yeah, Zip-It, Z-I-P-I-T.
Okay.
So if it's clear.
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay, if it's hair, and you usually have a stopper there, it becomes entangled in that stopper. It just minimizes the diameter of that pipe because of the hair. And then, you know, everything just starts running slow. So a Zip-It is a piece of plastic about as wide as a pencil, and it's flat like a credit card and probably not much thicker than a credit card, with little barbs that are sticking up, almost creates little V's. And it's got a little place to place your forefinger and thumb at the top, and you just kind of feed that down in the drain. You don't have to take the stopper out. Feed it down, wiggle it, and pull out, and you will tear through a lot of that hair, and you will bring up the hair. It has never failed me. And they're really about an expense of, you know, $4 to $5. So you can pick it up at most hardware stores. I'm sorry?
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. So it's called Zip-It. You can get it like at Ace Hardware, places
yep,
like
yep.
that.
Yep, just go to the area where they have their drain cleaners and augers, and there'll be one. It's about 30 inches long. I'm sure they're not all called Zip-Its. That's what I call it. That's what the one I bought was called. But they're about 30 inches long, like I said, as wide as a pencil, flat as a credit card, and it's such an economical, easy little fix. And, you know, you got to wiggle it, and you got to shake it, and you're going to tear through the hair, and you're going to pull up, you know, a little glob here and there. It's going to be a little disgusting, but your problem will go away.
Well, that sounds like worth trying. I certainly appreciate your help, Gary.
All right. Very good. Thank you much. Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye. When you asked about also, is there something I can just pour down there? Yeah, I've talked about that a lot also. There's different things, Drainbow. There's different enzyme-type cleaners. But the one thing I caution you to read is whether it says it'll dissolve hair. You know, what is it, that Nair product to dissolve hair on your legs? Remember, it was a big deal. Those drain cleaners actually have that chemical in them. Some of them, not all of them. So you got to really read them. I think that Drainbow does not dissolve hair. So you gotta really watch if it's just something to pour in. But as you've heard me say many times, I'd rather remove it. I don't want to be pouring anything down there. I just want to just remove it, physically remove it. Maggie, welcome.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
I live in a 1951 three-bedroom ranch house.
Mm-hmm.
So the house is 70 years old, very well maintained over the years. I'm only the second party to have lived in this house. The original mm-hmm. owner raised three kids in this house and maintained it very well. In every room in this house has two registers, heating, uh-huh. you know, air conditioning. One, it will be up at the top of the ceiling where the wall meets the ceiling, and the other one is directly beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so confused. How do you treat these two registers? I've had people tell me, leave one of them open, close the other one, leave one open when the air conditioning's on, leave when the heating's on in the winter, do this, do that. I just don't know what to do. And also, I wonder what if I want to hire a company to clean my ducts, would they be charging me for two registers for every room in the house?
Well, I
can
guess
you help me?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple questions. I can't see it, so I don't. If the two registers have two separate ductworks, two separate pipes, yes, they would be charging you for two. And they are both registers are for heating and cooling. It's not a cold air return. It's actually
exactly
air blowing
right.
out through them. I don't know why there's two of them. I would put my faith in the heating and air conditioning person that's telling me how to use those. I can't see how that system's set up to be able to answer that question.
Well, the information that I got was online looking at plumbing sites, and I didn't actually have anyone in person tell me what to do.
Do you ever have that? Do you ever have that air conditioner or furnace serviced once a year?
I do. I've been very good about that. I've probably only skipped a couple times in 15 years of living here.
Okay. Well, this is what I would do. Number one is, yes, on the cleaning, they're probably going to charge you for both because they're probably separate ductworks for each of the registers, and I'm just assuming this. The second thing is next time you have that furnace or air conditioner serviced, when they're all finished mm-hmm. and you're settling up, just say, hey, come here, take a look at this. Explain this
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he or she will be able to do that to you. But I wouldn't be doing you a service without seeing it, explaining how that should be worked.
Okay.
All right.
Gary, the information I got online is that this was a common occurrence in branch houses built in the 50s. So I mm-hmm. thought, well, maybe this was a common problem.
Well, it may be. I'm just not that familiar with it. I've seen the cold air returns in the actually registers. Maybe one on the floor and one on the ceiling. But either next time you have it serviced, just have them walk you through that. I'm sure they'll be able to help you with that.
I will do that.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, our phone number is 800-823-8255. We'll continue talking a little home improvement. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Help for your home is just a click away at GarySullivanOnline.com. This is At Home with Gary Sullivan.
All right, back at it we go, at home with Gary Sullivan, as we take your calls, as we do each and every weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, 9 to noon Eastern time. That's when we're in the chair and can answer your questions. It's 800-823-8255. All right, let's go to Margo. Margo, welcome.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
I have a red wing croc, and it has a hairline crack, and I was wondering what I could seal it with to make it food safe.
You'd have to get a glue that says it is food safe. So, and I don't know the temperature that would come into play, but there are a lot of food safe silicones. I'd be more I'd be equally concerned about the heat. I don't have a brand name to say, yeah, get this one. But there is food safe silicones, and that'd probably be the direction I'd be looking at.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. Take care. All right. In fact, the heat would be the one that would probably bother me more than, well, I guess the food safe too, but a lot of your, high temperature food safe products, I think I'm doing this by long-term memory, I think it's 350 or 400 degrees. So then the question is, how hot does the crock pot get? Probably not that hot. I don't think you really burn yourself on that crock. So there's food safe silicones that would probably fix that problem. On the same hand, crock pots are pretty inexpensive. Might be something to consider a new one. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
Well, good. So that woman that called on those heat registers, diffusers.
Yeah.
So when they're right above each other like that, one for cooling, one for heating.
Okay.
So in the wintertime, we'd have the top one closed.
Okay.
And leave the bottom one open, then just reverse it in the summertime.
So are those two separate ducts, Steve, or no?
No, usually, typically, it's a rectangular duct that goes in there, and they would just cut one into that piece. You know, instead of running around, they'd run the rectangular. But that's real common, like on slab homes in particular.
Yeah, I'm just not big in or not that knowledgeable on heating and cooling, so wasn't really sure. So tell me again, why did they do that? I'm just curious. I mean, why does it?
Well, you know, like you're. In the cooling, you know, the cold air is heavy,
right?
And it has a tendency, you know, it's going to lay low,
right?
And you know, you don't get good entrainment, you know,
okay.
A good mix sometimes.
Okay.
So so that's why you want to come in. You know, that's all your commercial buildings. That's why the AC comes from the top and not the bottom.
Right. Right.
Yeah, the heat's on the bottom using hydronic
so,
or
yeah.
Hot
so
water
the
heat,
the very yeah. elementary yeah. aspects of heating and cooling then. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for shedding some light on that. I appreciate it.
Sure. No problem.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Must have missed that one. I missed class that day. All right. It's 800-823-8255. 800-823-8255. Again, you know, we talk a lot about different projects, and certainly there's a couple that heating and cooling, not necessarily my specialty. Appliance repair, not necessarily a specialty. However, I do want to extend a thank you again to the heating and air conditioning guy. After probably talking to multiple heating and cooling companies about lowering the humidity in my home, adjusting fan speeds, et cetera, and he had mentioned just turn the manual fan off and put it on auto. It's only going to kick on when the air conditioning kicks on. And I always had it always running. That solved my problem immediately within 24 hours. And I mentioned it on the radio last weekend about how happy I was after being, you know, talking to a lot of people. And I mentioned it. I must have got, I don't know, 10 or 15 emails from people said they were struggling from the same thing, did the exact same thing, turned the fan to auto rather than on. I keep saying the word manual, but you get auto and on. and putting it on auto, it just runs when the air conditioner's on. And this, these people, all of them, said the same thing. It immediately lowered the humidity level inside my home 10 to 15 points. I was running, you know, like 62%. Now I'm running like 50 humidity, which is perfect in the summertime. So we give them a hats off. Sometimes some of the callers that are specialties in their fields can answer some of these questions. But I did. I've talked to a lot of people in that field. Nobody, you know, I mean, we adjusted fan speeds. We did different things along the way. And we got a dehumidifier. And this problem just kind of popped up like 5 years ago. It was never a problem before. And my guess is I had changed the fan from auto to on. But a lot of people do that. I was talking to people yesterday, and I'm going like, how do you run? Oh, I turn it on, moving that air. That's good. And I remember telling people to turn that. And there's a lot of people who have told me run that fan. But you can run it in the wintertime. But they were quick to add, or this fellow was quick to add, you don't want to do that in the summertime. And he was absolutely correct. Hey, one of my favorite places, go shopping online at signaturehardware.com. You can find the perfect vanity, faucet, hardware, lighting, and very trendy styles. Free shipping on orders over $99. And I'll tell you, they've got a selection that, it'll keep you busy just taking a look at some of the beautiful products they have for your next kitchen and bath remodel. SignatureHardware.com. 800-823-8255. That's our number. Grab a line. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Improvement 101 with Gary Sullivan. Every weekend, classes begin at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.